Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you here this morning. Do we have any prayer concerns? Kelly?
Our daughter Victoria, she's having another psychotic episode in her mental health.
I'm gonna have to get a little closer here.
Victoria?
Yeah, I got her.
She's having another mental psychotic episode, so she'll be staying in her cell for a while. Prayers for her kids.
Where is the kid?
Unfortunately, they're with their dad, which I told the people that have her, I said, if we're the dad and him and God, like, you understand, put them in danger, so.
Anything else?
Any prayers for the people who got here in Israel?
Of Israel?
Iran is having a bombing, so.
Yeah. Well, I would say for that whole area, what's going on. Yeah.
Be here before long.
We what?
They will be here before long.
Uh-huh.
Also for Laura, she tried to come today, but her back is just so bad. She got more injections on Wednesday, and so just pray that those will work better than the last ones, and they can figure out where the pain's coming from, and isolate it, do something about it.
Have they done any x-rays and stuff?
They've done lots of x-rays. She has something wrong with her disc or something in there, but because of her age and how bad it is or whatever, they hesitate to operate. They won't operate, you know. If she was 65 or something, probably do it, you know, or something. But, and so they make her go through these, you know, progressions, and they try and do other things. But they are on that path to surgery now, because they've tried all kinds of things, you know. And these injections, they've been doing them every month now, and trying different areas and stuff. And, you know, one time it'll work pretty good, it lasts for a while, and the next time it hurts worse for the next month, you know. And so.
Well, that's because it covered up pain to begin with, and she hurt it more.
Yeah, that's what I said too. And I guess they can go in like dead nerves or something to where,
They can do nerve block.
Yeah, nerve block or something. That's what I said. I said, well, then if they do that, you don't know if you're damaging your back or hurting your back. Of course, you know, about taking dishes and throwing plywood or something either, you know. So I'm all these churches.
Okay, nothing else, shall we pray? Oh.
I want to thank everybody for the prayer.
Okay. Shall we pray? Father, we're so thankful to be able to be here this morning together to talk to you, Father, to learn about how you want us to talk to you all the time, and that you're there for us and are listening, Father, and you will answer our prayers in some form. Help us to accept those forms, Father, and continue to watch over us in our daily lives and be with those that we're thinking of and praying for, Father, and Ruth and her family and her time, whatever be that she can be comfortable, Father. Father, be with us always as we go about our daily lives to do your will, and be with Victoria and her time, that it can be done to help her with her psychotic state that she goes through, that she will be able to handle that, Father, and that You can, only you can help her, really, Father, that you will guide the doctors in what they do. And Father, for Laura and her back, that things be done there that can help her to alleviate that and to live a more comfortable life, Father. Father, for Debbie's thankful for all the prayers that she's had and her recovery, Father, and help her to keep growing stronger. Be with us all always, and help us to remember you at all times. We ask in Jesus' name, let us all say amen. Okay, so we are on the eighth lesson in prayer. So you're up next week, Vern.
What's that?
You're up next week.
For what?
You get this prized position right here. So, prayer and how God answers prayer. And I think we've all kind of heard these before, but we're going to see some examples, too, of how God answers our prayers. And so in our study on prayer, we've examined these things, the purpose of prayer, the power of prayer, the privilege of prayer, the principles of prayer, the persistence of prayer, and the practice of prayer. And why don't people pray more often? That's kind of the key, or a key question for us. I think we all kind of need to answer for ourselves. And why don't we? Perhaps they don't believe their prayers are being answered. Not knowing how God answers, they may have lost faith in prayer. We saw last week, we talked about how Daniel prayed three times a day. And as an example, just an example that he did that every day, three times a day. Muslims do that. And they, well, Daniel even faced a certain direction when he prayed. Muslims do the same thing. And so it gives us an example of when to pray. And then in the New Testament, a lot of the New Testament is prayer. A lot of times we just kind of read the verses, but we don't really realize that it's part of a prayer. And of course, Jesus's prayer is one of his big ones, because he prayed quite often, was right there towards the end of his life when, can't remember if it's Matthew, but it composes about two chapters. He prays for himself, I believe, for the church, and somebody, and for general people, or something like that, to God. There's three different specific subjects there that he prays for in those three verses. So this week we're looking at how God answers them, how he answers our prayers. Sometimes we don't even, I think, realize he's answered them. So lest we begin to think that God does not hear us when we pray, we should remember that there are at least four ways that God answers prayer, beginning with our request granted. That would says, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. So here, I'm assuming these are from David, that he's cried out and wanted help, and God, and he said, God answered me. And then especially when we put him first in our lives, he answers us. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now this is telling us how to seek him, how to get yes answers. And all these things shall be added to you. And then we will get yes answers when we are doing, asking for things in accordance with his will. I don't think he'd answer no at any time if we're asking in accordance with his will, the things, and that they be that way. And that would be for James, where he says, you don't get answered because you ask amiss, because basically you're asking for your own wants, not what God wants you to do. And for God to answer yes, we must ask, well, here it is, according to his will in 1 John 5:14. Matthew 6:33. Oh, we also had Proverbs 3:5-10, where he says, this is about when we put him first in our lives, is, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So why does it say don't be wise in your own eyes? What? Yeah, you think you know everything. But we're told why not to. Who's wiser than us? God. Remember it says, I don't know if it's in this passage here, but God's wisdom is far greater than man's wisdom, we're told. So that's why it says, don't be wise in your own eyes. If you are, you're going to get no answers. No for an answer. And then it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Interesting one there. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So what we get if we honor God with them, that they came from him, give him the thanks for them, we are honoring him, and we're showing that God gave us everything and to be thankful for what we have. So for God to answer yes, we must ask according to his will in 1 John 5:14, where he says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So he hears us if it's according to his will. And we must be doing his will in our lives. Not just ask according to it, but also doing according to his will. In 1 John 3:22, says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So we're doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. What would those things be? No.
What did you say?
He says there, we keep us and do things that are pleasing in his sight. What are the things that we do that are pleasing in God's sight?
Worship.
What?
Worship.
Worship would be one.
Give.
What?
Give.
Give.
Pray.
Pray.
Doing his will.
Doing his will. But I'm kind of looking for, in our daily lives, what do we do? I think giving was one that was really, because that can cover a lot of things, just like the Sierra Mountain Children's Home, or what was, is that the exact name, right name?
That we, Mountain Homes.
Mountain Homes, okay. That we just gave those items to them, they came and picked up for that children's home. That's the thing that, to me, that are pleasing in this sight. When we take care of other people, do things for other people, just helping others.
Always be thankful. Always. Everything.
Yeah. So, I think another thing that would be pleasing in his sight would be in our daily lives as to the our speech of what we're saying. Vernon over here, I'm sure, runs into a lot of foul language where he works. The construction type work, it's almost a given that those people are going to talk that way. And yes.
Actually, correctly stated, it doesn't matter. It's not construction. It's everywhere now. It's,
yeah.
It's the new second language now. Mm-hmm. Now we're ready to go. Either believe it or not, even in engineering offices.
Yeah. In my 76 years, I've seen a change. Kids in school use foul language all the time. And you didn't hear that. Whenever I was in grade school, we didn't hear it. Well, if we did, if you did, you were in trouble at school and your parents found out about it. And you were in trouble at home. But it has slowly changed. And movies, TV shows, whatever, have, it's nothing for the foul language that's in them. And at one time, I'd say back in the 50s, there was no foul language at all. And now it's very prevalent. And it's really odd when you don't hear it. But there are good movies out there to go see. What did we just see? I can't even remember what it was. What was it about?
It was a good movie, huh?
What? Well, yeah, it was. Just forgetting the plot. But there are a lot of them, like.
Oh, it was about this child that needed a liver transplant.
Oh, yeah. A child, and it's based on a true story, too. His child needed a liver transplant, was going to die, and through. And I don't think he was really much a big believer, but by the time the show ended, yeah, he was. But they had a liver for this child that was like 5 years old, and they had to get, I don't know, from one town to another in a certain amount of time, and they had one of those snowstorms. That's the 100-year snowstorm, and no way to get there, drive there, couldn't drive there, nobody was flying, and so there was nothing. But one lady went through and had gotten it all lined up and had a helicopter to come pick them up in this blinding snowstorm and a plane to fly them. It was like in Kentucky is where it took place. And the people at the end that came out, they had to clear a landing place for this helicopter. And a number of people that came out to do that. It was quite an interesting story. And then since then, I've seen emails coming that there's another, that's all they do, are movies like that. And about one coming after. There are things just watchful. So to our prayers. So naturally we rejoice when God grants our requests, but sometimes we may receive the answer, request granted, but not yet. You don't need it yet. God may answer yes, but wait. And we aren't a waiting people too much. We want our answers now. We want it now. God may answer, may grant our request, but in time and according to his purpose. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 11. Where he says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time for everything. And then verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. So we can't find out what he's done from beginning to end. We only see what's right here, right now, this little aspect. And so we have to wait. I've encountered this, getting a yes answer, but I've had to wait. And I've gotten a no answer that we're going to look at here in a little bit. And nope, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to do something else. And so if you just watch, look at your life and kind of look out what you were wanting and thinking, God has been there a lot. So when the answer seems to be wait, we need to have patience. Hebrews 6, 10 through 12. Skipped on. So we may think God is saying no when he really saying yes, but wait. Luke 18, 7, he says, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him through though he bears long with them? So he bears long with us. The waiting time. I graduated and had a teaching credential, but I didn't get a job. I went to doing a couple other things for the next 10 years until finally God said yes. That's what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. And spent the next 35 years in that town. So, you know, he said no at first, or I said no. I don't want to go someplace, or I didn't really try. But anyway, God's way, I think, of saying no, and will lead you on to something else. And has led me into a good career. So when the answer seems to be wait, we need to have patience. Hebrews 6, 10 through 12 says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So we need to have patience. There was a preacher gave a lesson on patience. We pay for patience. And it comes out, you better be careful what you pray for, you might get it. And it has to do with patience. And I can't remember what the thing is, but patience can bring certain trials with it. So we need to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. Of course, Luke 11, 8 through 10. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. This guy came at night, friends came, he needed some food for him, he's gone and asked his friend for it. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. But all that has to be in connect, we got to connect all this stuff together. You got to ask according to his will. You got to ask in faith. You got to be doing his will. So life is like that. And sometimes we just have to wait, but be persistent in asking. So, and we need to remember God's promise in Romans 8:24, where he says, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees?" So, what's the hope? What's the hope that we're saved in this hope?
Eternity.
Eternity, yes. That we will be saved, we will be with God in the end. So, third way he answers, it's the request is granted, but not as expected. God may answer yes, but not as you think. Sometimes God answers in a way differently than we may anticipate. And remember, his thoughts and methods are much different than ours. In Isaiah 55:8-9, where he says, "For my thoughts are not your," this is what I was referring to earlier, "my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Showing the vast, man is way down here in his thoughts, God's are way up here. And God knows, has seen the beginning, and he sees the end of how things are going to go and what he wants for us. For example, asking God for strength and perseverance, he may give us trials to bear. In Philippians 1:29-30, he says, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here in me." So, we might ask God for strength and perseverance, or we're going to get down here to one where he says no. Of course, we know about Paul and his problem with his, we think it's his eyes he's talking about. But anyway, he may give us trials to bear in that way, to bear, to get an answer that we aren't sure of. So these, which in turn develop the virtues we prayed for. And now it's on, and we can follow along with there. So we must not limit God's options as to what his answers are. We should be careful and not dictate to God how to answer our prayers. That wouldn't be according to his will if we tried to do that. So there are forces at work beyond what we can imagine. Ephesians 3:20, where he says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." So, God can do much more than what we even ask. He can go beyond that. And that, plus, we do not always know what to pray for as we ought, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We don't necessarily know what that's, but the Spirit is helping us. We might be asking, this is kind of a personal opinion maybe, we might be asking for something, but we're really wanting something else, we'd like something else, certain things, and God, the Spirit helps us and talks to God to help us to attain those things which we don't even know about. I never prayed, I don't think, to like be able to preach, get up, stand in front of people and talk. But yet, God, I believe, has led me through a lot of different things to help me to do this.
Yeah. Well, I remember this scripture helped me when my dad was gone. And I was like, what to pray for? Even the pain, I pray that he knows that he died. Or do I pray that he recovers? You know, the way. Like, I didn't know, but to pray, you know, your will is not to be
first. Well, we're going through this right now with Ruth, the same thing. And especially when they are long extended illnesses. What pray for in those things. I was lucky, I guess you could say, both my mother and father did not suffer long. They weren't overnight, you know, like heart attacks, but kind of went along for maybe 2 years, the diminishing returns on my father, and diminishing health, then my mother's about a year. So those aren't long-term, and they seem to be healthy. So we don't know what to pray for a lot of times. We limit the how, and we might limit the results when praying for the sick. That's what we've been talking about. Do we pray simply that God bless the use of natural means, that's doctors, medicine, and so forth? If so, might we limit God as to how he might restore them in ways beyond what we are able to imagine? And is it not better to simply ask God to restore the sick and leave the methods to him and our memories too, if they aren't restored to health, the memories we have of them, that they can guide us in our lives and draw strength from. People in my life that really have been an influence, and I remember them. So as we pray, our trust in God should allow him latitude to answer however he deems best. We especially need trust in God should it become apparent that the answer to prayer is request denied. God may answer no. There may be times when God denies our request. James 4:3, where he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own, on your pleasures. And so that's one reason why he denies our request sometimes. Or we must trust that God, who knows what is best, would do so only if granting the request might not be for our good. In Hebrews 12:5-11, he says, for you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he sees. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more really be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. I don't think any of us there like being chastened in our daily lives. It's not for us, it's not joyful, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. That's the next one. So, when God seems to say no, we may not fully understand, but we can still fully trust in him. In Habakkuk 3:17 through 19, he says, though the fig tree, I'll tell you a story about this first. We sing a song in Patterson, we did. This couple, 17 and 18, I think. We sang a song, and some of our members wrote some music to it. So we had the music. Now, we might have heard the song, and then they wrote, transcribed some music for it. I'm not sure. I don't remember for sure. But it tells quite a story in this song, in this hymn. It's a hymn of faith. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stable. So it's saying, if everything's failing in, I guess you could say this farming part, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I would joy in the God of my salvation. Even though they're going through all these things, still going to joy in God of our salvation. Now, this would be like Job, the story of Job, same thing. He still had joy in God of his salvation, no matter all those calamities that he went through. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Just a interesting song to hear, to sing it. Sometimes God needs to say no, especially in light of the promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13, where he says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. So there's nothing we're tempted with that we can't handle. It's all common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. We aren't going to be tempted beyond what we're able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. But there's a way to get out of it. Kathy? Well, I think the temptations, God won't tempt us. I don't think God tempts us.
Right.
The devil tempts us.
Right.
And
if we're Christians, we'll have an escape.
Yeah.
If not,
right. And then God will provide the grace and mercy to do without. In 2 Corinthians 12:7-9, he says, this is a thorn in the flesh of Paul, the Paul house. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, whatever this was that Paul had, he had asked for it to be taken away. God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. You can handle this and use it to further my will. So, in conclusion, in at least 4 ways, then, God answers our prayers. A request granted but not yet, request granted but not as expected, and request denied. However God may choose to answer our prayers, we can have confidence that it will be for our good. It's going to be for our good that he's going to answer our prayers. However, we should never grow weary in praying to God. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayers. Psalm 6:9. So he hears us and he's received our prayers. So, any questions, comments about prayer? What we've looked at over these last 8 weeks. So we've seen what purpose of prayer is, the power of prayer, privilege of prayer, principles of prayer, persistence of prayer, and the practice of prayer, and how prayers are answered. Any other thoughts about prayer? Okay. Hopefully that covers it pretty well for you. A little better understanding of prayer. So, thank you for this time we've had. Okay. Doesn't seem to want to go on.